This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So, you know, for me, there are certain guests that when you get contacted and you hear like, oh, they're going to do the show again or they want to do the show again. It's usually they want to do the show again. And like, are they allowed to? You just hear the name and you go, what now? You know what I mean? Like, okay, what is it this time? And with this guy, it's like, and let me guess, it's another fucking book.
You know how cats make a certain noise when they've like got something?
Yes, yes, know? Yes. Yeah, you hear them meow outside the door and you're like,
and they think it's like really, they think it's nice for you.
You know? Yeah, like they're singing to you. Yeah.
Yes.
Because there's the, can I'll do it? Like, so there's my cats outside the door. They want to come in or they want food or something or they're going, meow, meow. Now they've got something. Here's the sound.
Yes. That's the exact one. That's the sound of this email.
That's this guest. That's the sound that my fucking computer makes when the email comes in. That it's like, Mr. Books is back, wants to fucking talk about his books again. So it's like, yeah, it's not. Yes, I'm glad you caught the idea or whatever. And it's like in your jaws and you're going to drop it on my doorstep. But I don't know. Be a little less like corny with it.
It's Tommy Orange is here.
Tommy Orange.
Hey guys.
You wrote another book.
What's next, dude? He wrote another one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The most insanely typical thing of you.
Mm-hmm. And one of the least surprising, most predictable moves in history. How long since the first one?
6 years.
Ooh. Breakneck pace. 6 years.
Decalage.
Is that what they call a 6 year period?
No. Is the paper decalage?
I've never heard of that.
The jagged mountain pass
and
that
I
you
can
must
see
traverse.
Him. And
it
I can
shows
see him.
Adventure within.
The second you say it, he goes blank because he's thinking decolletage. And I could see it on his face.
His,
and no shame.
His memory
I'm a,
palace.
Hey, I'm a fucking red-blooded American male myself, you know.
Guilty.
It happens to be open season on my gender for quite some time, but the fact is, I also thought a decolletage, I was able to control myself a little more. But anyway, dude,
speaking
congrats.
Of America.
Yeah.
The American flag is one thing we don't place on the ground. The other is the Hat Pack hat. He comes in here. So the Hat Pack is still happening?
He did say
he
that.
He says, is partial view in the... Have you been in the New York Times?
Yeah.
So has part of the hat.
The
did
hat,
you think it was kind of a big deal?
Yeah. Three-quarter angle. Three quarters off screen. But three-quarter angle of the hat in the New York Times.
Who's wearing it?
Week.
Zach Cherry's lovely bride.
Yeah, dude.
What's her name?
Mrs. Cherry.
Mrs. Cherry. You know what? Cherry and orange are two of the colors featured on the fucking hat. Like, let's get some kind of collaboration going between you two. It's actually pretty cool. I'm getting off on the wrong foot with you. And your attitude this episode so far has been kind of...
Leave
well, we can
to
say
be
it.
Desired.
Little, and I don't use this a lot, but it's a little cunty.
It's fatal.
But like, why don't you in your own words, the book's called Wondery Stars. It's about
all the
Dirty
stars
John,
on the
Dr.
Wondery
Death,
podcast
all the
network.
People have been made famous by yes. Wondery.
Just a low $65 fee to get in and see what the podcasts are that they have there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it features a podcast at the center of the novel, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book about podcasts.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
A couple of friends meet TV writers, and they're just watching reality shows and bantering.
Uh-huh.
And they think this might be a show.
Right.
And, start developing this thing. And pretty soon they have this idea.
This thing.
Okay.
It's like a show about nothing.
Okay.
That becomes a show about other shows.
Okay.
This is the novel. And
okay.
It's about friendship. Really.
I misread this thing. So I totally missed that, but admittedly I skimmed some of it. So it sounds familiar, you know what I mean?
What's the wandering?
It sounds a little
part
bit like
it?
How the Two Bears One Cave met. Am I crazy?
No, Wondery Stars.
It's Wondery Stars.
Yeah,
Wondery Stars.
These guys are they're on Wondery.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything in there about how they got on there?
Yeah, like how do you get over
there?
This
is part of your research? Did you ever like...
It's fiction, so I can do whatever I want. It's a novel.
Right. Yeah. Right. But just like, is there a story in the novel? Because I find your stuff to be fairly grounded. I'm not saying it lacks imagination. There's, it seems pretty believable. I'm having trouble crafting a narrative where two guys like you're describing are able to kind of get in
yes.
there.
And I saw a blurb that the book is by turns wondrous and shattering. And shattering, I'm getting.
Yeah, it's shattering my ass to pieces right now.
So they get enough guests on and sort of they eat up the ideas of the other guests' podcasts.
Right. Okay.
So they grow in that way.
Oh, like
and they
Kirby.
Get so big, they almost can't like be ignored by a place like Wondery.
Yeah. Because, like,
can't be ignored.
They nearly can't be ignored. It's so close to being unable to be ignored. I probably won't be ignored. Me in Fatal Attraction. here's what happens to me when I like I have this podcast and people go like, oh yeah, where do you work with like a network or anything? And I go, yeah, it's at HeadGum, and they go, oh. But like this is what happens when you mention Wondery. You go, oh yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, it's being produced over at Wondery, and they go, oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, smart.
Like oh you? Oh, your ass, huh?
What?
All right. Put her there. I get a handshake, a mid-conversation
yeah.
handshake.
All of a sudden, I've been reevaluated. I've demonstrated my value. And I'm squeezing palm.
Well, this is all relevant to me. You may have noticed I got a little strap on my arm here. I got my blood drawn today.
Mm-hmm.
I got a test. And it did show up.
I can attest to that.
Positive on the test.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out I do have a novel in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got one coursing through me.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is get it out.
Is this related to the segment on blood tests and personalities coming up?
Is it related?
Well, it involves a blood test. Yeah, I guess I can draw a straight line from one to the other.
Yeah, we could connect it to that.
A bunch of people responded like, oh, what Hayes doesn't know is actually people do that.
Did they really?
I think there's a...
I guess I don't know because I don't read your fucking comments.
I think there's a Japanese system where they actually organize kids by blood type.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to put attach a culture
to
it.
Yeah, I was running away from that. And a bunch ran through my head.
Yeah, oh, God. They're still going. I can't shut it off.
It's like a
somebody
kicked a slot machine, but it just won't stop.
Somebody kicked the nozzle off the faucet and it's just shooting out.
It didn't say what the novel was about.
Countries.
That's another. Oh, now we got to do another test to tell you what your novel's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's such a racket.
Medical.
Whenever you go, and this is just, and this is it, right? We don't cure anything anymore.
Yes.
It's a course of treatment, right? It's maintenance, and that's where the money is. And so it's like, okay, well, this test came back positive. You do have a novel in you. And
yes.
It's like, okay, can you tell me what it's about? It's like, we need a few weeks for the blood to refill.
Yes.
Which I'm like, how much did you take? Like, am I okay? Because you look, they got these big jugs there.
Oh, yeah. And they're like,
here I said big jugs around this guy.
That I saw his face go blank again.
I'm sorry. Containers for holding liquid.
It's dangerous to mention it because when you say that, he's internally aged thousands of years. That's how long he's been.
Sir, there is a
part inside.
Oh, the two guys, they develop this storytelling piece that you can explore kind of stream of consciousness language, and they just kind of like go into this abstract storytelling about nothing at the beginning of the show. It's a segment.
Yeah.
They eventually abandoned for some reason.
Yeah.
But it's a real opportunity to get into language and, you know, absurdity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An opportunity for who?
For me as a writer to explore.
Oh, okay. For you. Okay. Thank God it's for somebody.
Yeah. I would say that just like without obviously having read it, or even understanding what you're talking about, sometimes that kind of thing seems like an opportunity at first, and what you realize is that like there's no opportunity, there is only cost.
Right.
So it's a bit of a dead end.
Who's Kirkus?
Talk about Kirkus for a moment.
The star Kirkus starred reviews. It's like the first people that, and the Wondery Stars got a Kirkus star, but I heard recently that it's like students writing it and they pay him like $25 for the review, so it's not worth as much, and yet it holds this industry.
Okay. But they want you to think it's really Kirkus doing it.
Yeah,
I just like the way
they're like, oh, it's Kirkus reviews, but it's like actually somebody else. It's like,
RogerEbert.com.
You
know what I mean?
Promised me that this was Kirkus. It's like, I trust Kirkus.
Mm-hmm. I'm only listening to, I for a long time I thought the City of Paris was was writing a bunch of those until I really sat down and thought
about
it.
Or just one. Specifically, just for one, but one really good one.
Oh, yeah. That it was, well, it was getting longer all the time. Son of a bitch.
Crawford doesn't want, he's here. He doesn't want to be on the.
That's true. I can't stop thinking about what he must be up to.
We asked him to be on the show and he said no.
Yeah. I don't know that he said no.
He just didn't. He didn't take us up on it.
He demonstrated that the answer was no by completely ignoring the question.
I'm wondering, because I got to get this novel out of me. Doctor said I need to get it out. Like, they were trying to do a novelectomy today.
You're sure it's a novel? The test showed it, like, not a children's book, because that could
be. It's square. That's what they're seeing on the scan. It's almost, they were just like, oh, it looks like a. Could be a good ass novel in there. They were like, most novels aren't this square.
Mm-hmm.
But they're heading that way. I mean, you like, you're part of the industry. They're getting squarer.
They're mostly rectangle.
I know, but they're, like the really mostly, good ones are square.
Mostly.
And this MF-er didn't even know decalage. He's trying to tell me what a book looks like.
Now all of a sudden he's giving you shapes. When I saw it, I had a big fat bass clef in there when they showed the scan, and they said, oh wow, you got some powerful music inside you.
So it's a scan.
I don't want to die with the music inside me, you know what I mean? I want to get it out. But it's a scan. It's a blood test scan.
Mm-hmm.
What's confusing? This is just poking holes in everything.
But maybe
we try to build things together on this show. You
can
know
you?
What I mean?
Because what I've learned, it's the ones who don't want to be on the show. That's who we really like. That's who we really. They got some really good ideas.
Yeah. Well, because they're starting from a place of honesty.
Yes. Can we? Kevin, can you ask Crawford just what? Tell him, I got a novel in me. I got to get it out. What should it be about? And if he wants to come in here and just say that, is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay with me. I just like, there's a decent amount of show left to do. We'll see what happens.
Well, he can leave.
I know, but if he's like,
I just need a prompt.
If we jostle him, if he's calm, he's doing something, and then he gets like uprooted, and then he's either hates or likes the experience of being in here. Either one is probably going to be pretty bad.
So what would have been the...
It's likely like Blue Frog.
I would have said, give me 10 more minutes of, just talking about what we saw on the scans.
Should we get into tilapia, or is that an example of something that we shouldn't mention when he comes in here? Because that'll get him going in a way that...
Well, I mean, let's open it up, because obviously, look, Tommy's here from out of town. He met my son, immediately started accusing him of having tilapia, of being near tilapia. Yeah,
which he did, which like, I agree with you. He did have some tilapia. His pockets.
It's a whether he like does or whether he doesn't. It's like you don't. There's
a whole tilapia fillet does not fit in your pocket. You're also like a little kid. Your pockets are extra small.
But the fact is, break the ice. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Have a little bit of conversation. Just don't be like tilapia. Like he shot you down, Kev.
He's having fun in the kitchen.
Okay.
So it's kind of a history of podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's part of what's interesting about podcasts is it tracks...
History and modern times.
It tracks, you know, all these different phases of modern thinking. And so the book allows me to, you know, through the vehicle of love between, you know, two guys that used to be super handsome and now are just less handsome... But still handsome.
Sure, yeah, but almost not worth bringing up. One of them just intentionally chose it, like such a weird style that it's like trying to look like a sort of like a henchman to a supervillain in like a 90s movie. And then the other one just there's no intention, there's no choice. Nature's just taking them apart before our eyes.
What I wished in the book, it made me sad that, like, because you have the advent of, like, using cameras in the book on the podcast, and it's right when they kind of stop being handsome that the cameras go on. That shattered me.
A lot of wasted time. But where it was just radio when they when
yes
they, before they had faces for radio
yes
mm-hmm.
They decided to turn the cameras on.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
an interesting sort of you know, I'm trying to talk about aging and you know time.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was ironic. Like I got it, but I also was like, it was just frustrating for me as a reader. It was just like painful and frustrating to go like, oh, I wish they'd filmed some of the earlier stuff. And they were so full of life. Versus like right when the atrophy became visible. That it was like now everything is documented on video.
At higher resolution, like by the year.
Oh my God, oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like you're there. They're finding everything now.
They're trying to wipe stuff off the screen. It's like, no, that's just on their face.
And here's the other thing I noticed. Not only that, but that even the style in which they were presented, the way they were sitting and the layout somehow yes. became less flattering, where it's like they maybe could have gotten away with the video with the original kind of format they were in.
Like that,
but just very unforgiving. And I thought, wow. This novel is cruel.
I had him sitting on couches, like as if like that's where you go to die. That's
yeah.
That's the position that you spend most of your end days on, in front of the TV on the couch. So I chose couches intentionally, as you know, that's part of a commentary on you know modern American life and mm-hmm. where we go to die.
Yeah, Yeah, it's certainly, I certainly continually die on this couch.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey gang, looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Hollywood Handbook.
So you went to go talk to Crawford. He just curved.
What was
your
the
ass,
conversation? Yeah,
I said, "You want to come on the show?" And he said,
"Did you say what I said?" Which was, yes. Hayes has a book in him.
Yes,
and he wants to know what the book is about.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say?
He said, "Mm-mm."
Oh my god,
A negative. I guess the blood type was
A mm-hmm. negative.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. I think you might have your title.
Having fun in the kitchen.
No, mm-mm. Imagine you're at the airport, you see, mm-hmm. like, whatever, how to be a bitch who don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But who tell would them name, all to suck your ass.
Who would
and
name,
then it says, mm-mm.
But who would name a book the same sound twice? It's like, you said that already.
That's true. That's true.
Dumb.
That's yeah. dumb, bro.
It seems like a typo, right? It's like a fucking mistake. That'd be, only people would read that would be tryhards, like President Obama. Right? God.
So there is this aspect of deconstructing that's part of the relationship on the podcast that the mm-hmm. friends have that I think there's a lot more to explore, and I think mm-mm might actually be a good territory to think about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's more to explore. I didn't explore that much in it. But
there's more.
Why?
Why
didn't you? This is the thing with me, like the book where it's like, it feels like even you're saying like, I kind of did this. I didn't do this. I was thinking about this. And it's like, well, I mean, I don't know, I guess it had been 6 years, but it's like, you don't have to give anybody the book. Like, you could have explored it more. What would you have done?
It was a commentary on, you know, the distractibility of people and the more noise in the information age about, that there is.
When they think about
who can think about the same thing for more than 6 weeks.
There it goes.
There's this one thing they have that's really great. It's this premise that they're teaching people about, like, film.
Hmm.
It's called Movie Manual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's good.
That sounds okay.
And They start off, is another one that dies off. They do start off parroting movie advice.
Yeah.
And they even have this great run of language that starts the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of about the fakeness of the movie industry.
Yeah.
And also like a how-to on, you know, what goes on behind the
funny shit.
Yeah.
Red
yeah.
carpet.
Sounds good. Yeah. yeah. Behind the red carpet.
But yeah. Always.
I never. I always think about what's under it. But I never think about what's behind that carpet.
Under's behind it. If you're face down on it.
That's true.
Under's kind of behind it.
And let's face it, I am.
Yeah, so the name's Clown Shemins and Days Havenpod.
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 Days Havenpod. I've had a few of those, haven't I?
That's just another day Havenpod for me.
Goodreads.
I can't visit it.
They won't let you anymore. Huh? You wrote too many reviews under fake names.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got locked out.
All these accounts, they finally tracked them all to the same IP address. Fucking Chris Cooper and the Bourne Identity headquarters.
I'm not good at
making up. You gotta figure out a way to get back on there, man.
I don't know how to make up fake names, as you can see from the character names that I chose in Wondery Stars.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, those names don't sound
They don't sound like real names.
Clown yeah, they is sound not really a, fake. Clown
is not a name that people have.
Clown, and it doesn't sound like the guy is a clown. It sounds like he's sort of a modern philosopher. Sounds like he's
at least the one
Pete
we deserve today.
Yeah. That he's actually, yes, because we do not have philosophers, preachers, yes,
yeah.
that have the same impact, that think about life and present it to you in ways with these parables to allow you to observe kind of the minutiae and then extrapolate that out into like what your lived experience really is and means. And it's like, who's doing that? You know what I mean? This character. Pete.
Yes. Oh, like, you have to be recognized in your own time? That's a requirement these days? Oh, let's go back and tell basically everyone that we now appreciate
as, you know, a genius.
Let's go back and tell them, sorry.
Herman Melville that.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you can't.
You have to get a Kirkus star your own time being the New York Times. Actually, our hat did get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say to Mrs. Cherry is know where the camera is.
Yeah, and this is like, and I get that you're new to it, but, and to Zach, I would say, Zach, you've dealt with the camera stuff. This is your fucking wife, dog. Like, just give her a little nudge and be like, hey, eyes over there. You know what I mean? Like, just like the camera's there. So make it look casual. Don't look down the barrel, but just go ahead and give them the full logo.
And meanwhile,
please.
Zach is like, oh, good. She's looking adoringly at me. Like,
uh-huh.
Well, no, we can't see the hat.
Yeah, they're getting the full Zach. And then she's like, just arm candy, right? And it's like, this is the story should really be about her and how she has a hat. Like, that's what people care about.
Is it? It's from Rat Pack and then just
Come on. Yeah, sort of.
A fucking guy. Just like, what now? Here comes another book.
What's your hat from?
Yeah, what's your hat
from? Tree beard from Lord of the Rings? Because you like books? Give me a fucking break, doggy.
Doggy, with your Lord of the Rings hat. I love that he's going to be wearing a hat. He's always wearing a hat, by the way.
Yes.
That's like always a hat, right? But then we give him a hat. Blah, blah, plomp. Flom. Just drop the shit. What's this? I don't know what to do with it. Okay. I know that's not true. I know you know what to do with it. I don't know, man. So...
Can so I have a book because, deal,
please?
They caught me because I was writing a bunch of 2-star, 3-star, just to balance it. Because if I'm doing all 5-star, it's going to be obvious. So between the fake names and the writing, I didn't know how to write bad reviews.
Okay.
They just sounded weird.
Yeah. You're
like, give me an example of a bad review. He doesn't like know a how to 2-star. Do it, but give me an example of a weird one. Yes. Yeah.
Liked the pages. But didn't like what was on them.
That's
but I've had though. That.
That's
experience.
What
Deckle Edge does.
The
yeah,
edge is the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. The deckle
take a brave soul to traverse the deckled edge. Harder to get hurt on it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. For me. When I was trying to juice the reviews on this podcast, I found it very easy to write bad reviews. Yes. That I have felt like I had so much material there.
Yes.
And then when I went to balance it out by putting, you know, more of the 5-star ones, I was tapped. I was absolutely spent. There was nothing in there.
What does a bad 5-star review sound like?
A bad 5-star review?
Like a poorly written or confusing 5-star.
Great phone. This phone kicks ass, doggy. I can, make calls? Sure. That's barely scratching the surface of what I can do.
Mine would say, arrived on time, high quality material.
People aren't aware that it's not radio. Those are the people that still think it's radio somehow.
I don't even know. It's like
I think they think it's like a physical product.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's being delivered to them.
Yeah. Not same color as in photo. So I'd be like, you know, why did I write that about my own show?
Great spelling. Of the titles.
Yeah, which, like, I guess is true. I mean, Kevin works really hard on the descriptions, and we don't give him enough credit. And Kevin, the descriptions are really good.
You did a really nice job.
And you've kept that up. And that's writing.
Sweet, Kevin.
And that's writing. It's not just novels.
And people rely on those. People say, okay.
People want to know which one, what's going on.
What's this one
going
to be about? It better be something good.
Are they having a little fun with something? You know, they want to know. And so they do look at those descriptions, and you work really hard on it. You do a great job, and it's usually spelled really well. And that's writing too, Tommy. There's not just one kind of writing.
It's coming. My novel. It's about my New York. It takes place somehow. Occupy is happening. But Hurricane Sandy is happening as well. And we're all 9/11, the specter of 9/11 is basically
the shadow
character.
Looms. I can feel it on the page.
Yes. but it's the absence of the shadow of those buildings that is the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, it's different guys, and it's about how you can have a different, a separate story,
mm-hmm.
but then it ends up, they end up talking to each
with
other.
With the other story ends up seeing end the up talking, other guy they up, and they talk.
They talk to each other as well.
And they are brothers.
Yes. Yes.
But we didn't know until they saw each other. And Mr. Trump is there as well. He's going the into one of his buildings. Of the Mr. specter Trump. Of him, for sure.
Yes.
He's not there. But the absence of him at his own hotel is part of what is looming over the book.
And this is, you know, and I left this out of my review, but like, this is what's missing a little bit. Where's like, mm-hmm. I didn't recognize my New York or any New York.
Yeah.
I didn't have any specters either.
No, honestly, I'm like,
okay, he
did I? I was like, it? I was yes. like looking back through it.
I went, I, like, I reread the first 200 pages six times trying to find a specter because I thought, well, there's got to be a specter of something, and I just kept going back over it, being like, okay, maybe it's me, maybe I'm all fucked up,
yes.
or maybe it's like there's a specter of a specter, yes. and we've like gone another layer and deeper, and I was yes. coming up completely empty-handed.
It's disappointing because I spectered one.
There is something at the end that's sort of foreshadowing or giving, you know, that maybe there'll be a sequel.
Okay.
They have to leave the Wondery family.
Spectre sure. Gadget. Spectre Gadget.
Spectre Gadget.
So they have to leave the Wondery building.
And they well, they end up in a totally different
building.
The podcast company and yeah. building.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But
for it, who?
It just ends that way, and I sort of built it in so I could write
the
someone has to care for it to be devastating. Like someone somewhere on the planet has to give a fuck what happens to these two guys.
It's just the friends and the friendship suffers
it's
because
them
of it.
Personally. Yeah. yeah.
Let me ask you this. Does it ever recover? I gotta know, Jack. Does the friendship ever recover? Honestly, the sale, the first sale of the podcast network. Do they ever come back? Because it was from there. Like, that's the, like, looking back, didn't seem like that big a deal at the time.
At that time, it was like, oh, just a bump in the road.
I didn't
but
even realize.
That was a specter.
Sometimes you don't that's know what you're writing.
The specter. The specter.
You didn't know
scripts.
It was a specter.
I didn't. The time.
The specter like of the guy. Fucking spelling bee company.
Like that guy.
Jeez, man. So what's next? More books? Fucking guy. Another book? Any other book?
Might be good to have started just to mm-hmm. like to get going on the next book.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done the audiobook?
I didn't do it. Other people did it.
And it's done?
Yep.
Okay.
Like,
are you
like
sure?
It's nothing. Like it's,
you think that's done? I mean, I listened to it. You honestly think that's done?
You needed to pay more attention. You're just like, other people did it. You really have to pay attention to this stuff. They did not do a good
they
job,
didn't
bro.
Do it. Whatever they did, that's not it.
Yeah.
Can we get, actually, I know he's not going to want to come in, but get my 5-year-old who's outside in here and tell him that he should expect another book around the time he's entering the workforce.
Here's something.
Fucking guy hasn't even started.
Here's a noise they make a lot in the audiobook. And let me know this is in the actual book because I didn't read it in the actual book. A lot of times they're going, ha 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 ha.
I did read some complaints about people not being able to tell the they're voices like, of the two voiceover actors apart from each other.
And
it's there are not two voiceover actors. It's clearly one guy He's kind of trying to do different voices, but like,
it's the same fucking guy. It's so clearly the same fucking guy. There's really nothing there. And I would hear this sound. Like every six pages.
And so that, I got the, it was very weird. Sometimes he's rushing through it and going like, and then the guy, he goes over here.
But
other times he's just reading to himself.
And he go like, and then the guy went in there.
Yes. And he's like distracted by it. It's like long, long pauses while I think he's just reading. And then he goes like,
I mean, I guess he's enjoying it. Like, which, great.
It made me really want to know what he was reading, but.
Or was there like a picture there or something? Because it was like, it was these long pauses. You're like, okay, all right. That's kind of nice. And then get back into what was clearly the text, but just like, I don't know. I thought it was
You got to be in the room. You have to, like, every step of the process. This is your creative life.
It was some kind of interpretive decision that was made when I wasn't there. Just trying to do the audio version of some of the absurdity in the language that they couldn't quite capture.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I didn't agree with it, but they'd already done it by the time I heard the sounds.
By the time he'd heard the sounds.
When they said next page, was that to us, the listener, or to themselves?
I heard that actually. That actually, maybe that's what they're talking about with the two different voice actors, because that did sound like somebody else.
That was somebody else going, I heard next page, and then I would hear other comments where it's like, boy, there's a lot of this left.
Yeah, yes. And they would go, the other voice would go, next page, and the guy would go, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't know he was supposed to be like turning the pages and reading. Well, he goes, okay.
We're still on this, huh?
This was actually a part of the novel was this decision that part of the podcast was to bring.
How many parts are there?
There's a lot of parts.
Jesus.
It feels like it.
The decision to bring in producers as personalities.
Okay.
And so the producer thought, what if there was an assumption that people didn't know what to do at the end of a page?
Okay.
And this is a producer decision that's playing on the idea of producer personalities entering the podcast in the book. So in the audiobook, the producer enters with this zany idea as a personality.
Right.
And thinks that people don't know what to do when they finish a page.
And so it actually does say next page in the book.
Fucking me.
That was the producer who did that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I fuck with that. That's actually kind of dope, meta, Lynchian.
And what I like about that is if you start developing an understanding with the reader that the producer is going to be coming in on saying next page on every page, that's words.
Oh, God.
And you don't have to do that. Means you don't have to do those.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Must be so nice to get to the end of the page and then it's just like, okay, I don't have to do these ones. I don't have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's only a little bit of space left. Let's just pull the trigger on the next page part of this.
So nice.
That's fucking dope. So, I guess like...
At the end, it doesn't say stop reading. And that was to leave open the sequel. So you don't know whether to turn the page, stop reading. You're just left wondering.
Okay.
No, yeah. I mean, I crashed my car because I just was like so fucked up off, like, I had been hearing next page, I had been getting told what to do, then the guy stopped reading, but I was like, do I stop reading? That I started like,
and everything else
just, like,
so
smashing
announced.
At
I think that's like
the console
that's what was confusing.
Yeah. And
everything
it
had been
crash.
Done for me up to that point, sort of.
It
but there's
sue your ass. Maybe crash and sue your ass.
Sorry.
Hope you enjoy the lawsuit, buddy. You just got served. B- because it is irresponsible and it's all in the service of the almighty dollar and greed, because you want to leave it open for the sequel. Why don't you just have the sequel start with start reading again? Like, did you think of that?
Or even
and don't
call,
answer because no, you did it.
That.
Start reading again. That's the name of the book. Ooh, Hayes, that could be your book.
That could be my book.
Oh, you just fucking
swoop
in.
And that's to this entire generation.
Mm-hmm. It's my, start reading again.
It's my love letter to them and also my warning to this generation.
It's called reading that book. And Hayes's book.
We're the, lost in the wilderness.
The reason
a
his.
Book, a beacon. Hark. It's Hayes's book.
A light silo nice. Upon the shore. The reason his is a square too. It's all one part.
Yeah,
it's all one part.
Mm-hmm.
It's one part, except for the. There's two different parts of it.
Just two sided.
Yeah,
and
you read it forwards and backwards.
It's in two pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like, oh no, I have to write two entire books. You, 6 years apart. Just write one book that's in two pieces.
Just write a two-piece book, and you could start anywhere in the book. That's what's cool about it. It's one of the things that's cool about it. Other cool thing about it, my friend wrote it. Ari wants to. It's inside
him. It's inside me. It has to come out today.
See if you can get Crawford in here now.
Okay.
So do they take the blood out, and then they scan it with... I'm trying to figure out what the scan is doing, because the way they
scan
the
is
blood.
they take a picture with a really old
the blood
camera
shows
blood.
You, and I understand you're just a writer, and so like some of this scientific stuff is sort of lost on you. They can use the blood to see everything that got in your body, because your blood is from in there, and there's a code inside your blood that shows you if any objects made their way into your body that need to
and it
come
can
out.
It can see what your number is.
Mm-hmm.
It can say what your number is.
What number?
Like how many people you did it with. It can see your number on the scan, so I guess don't get it done if you're ashamed. Whether it's because it's too many or direction. Not enough.
And don't be
ashamed.
But don't get it done if you are, but don't be.
But if you are, they're going to know. But so don't just be. Be aware. But don't be, nothing to be ashamed of. Unless the number's crazy. But
some are crazy.
Some of the
obviously.
Numbers, it's like, obviously, yes. Don't do it because, yeah.
I am a little stalled out on what the sequel's going to be.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
So I may need to.
Stalled out? A podcast with two guys talking sort of at one point was about the entertainment industry and you feel stalled out, buddy. If you can't feel the momentum behind that, I'm sorry. That is your issue. He's not coming.
He trouble with the curve again, huh?
We tried to negotiate. I said, would you like to come in the studio? He said, no. And then I said, what about? And then he said, anything you guys want, I'm not going to do.
Let me save you. It seems like you have a job to do back in there.
He's drawing.
Let me help you do it.
Did he find the blue?
No, he's drawing the woods. So he's using browns and yellows and greens.
Anya gave him this bunk ass blue.
Yeah. All the kid was, he's like, look, I'm going to be chill. Like, I'm a little kid. I know you guys got work to do. All I really need is like a blue marker. And she's like, oh, do you want the most fucked up one you've ever seen in your life?
It was a really bad blue.
And it sucked. Even though. Tommy could tell.
It was like a dead blue whale blue.
It did look like it was like somehow decomposing or something. It was really fucking distressing. Well, I'll try one time and
okay. Then
we'll wrap it up.
What's an interesting word in your What's the most interesting word?
In my book?
Mm, yeah. So many, huh? But it's always good to know what it, and I think every author does on some level, right? And it's supposed to be a secret that they never share. But they all know the most interesting word. And Tommy's thinking, should I share my word? I won't share it with just anyone.
So there's a whole section where the friends are super bitter about people thinking podcasts only started when Conan O'Brien made one.
Yes.
And there's a whole section where they go into vaudevillian humor. So I think vaudevillian is probably one of the most interesting.
Vaudevillian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Conan's like a sort of a vaudevillian
character. He's something of a vaudevillian himself, isn't he? In my life. Hey, Crawford.
You hear Hayes?
What's the final word of your book?
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum Podcast.